غرباء 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 غرباء.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد. In the previous two lectures that we've had today, the first about aspiration and high determination, and the second about instilling the love of the Qur'an in our youth and our children, we heard a lot of words and we heard a lot of phrases. We spoke about determination, we spoke about excellence, we spoke about aspiration, we spoke about success, and many other terms that keep coming up. And all of this eventually will come down to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aspiration, success, determination, excellence, all of these issues, they stem from the Qur'an, from the book of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an and He sent it to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a light and a guidance. And that doesn't just mean light and guidance in terms of how you pray, how you make wudu, how you fast, how you give zakah, but it means a light and a guidance in every single sense of the word. So a light and guidance in the way that we bring up our children, and a light and guidance in the way that we interact with others, a light and a guidance in the way that we conduct our businesses and our what we do in our jobs and our careers, a light and a guidance in terms of our vision in this dunya and in our lives. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Qur'an, and in it is light and guidance for every single issue and every single affair. However, unfortunately, one of the things that we've lost over time is that attachment to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that strong connection that used to exist in the early generations of the Muslims. Now you will find many people, they barely know how to recite the Qur'an. They find it difficult to recite the Qur'an and read the Qur'an fluently. This is common amongst the Muslims. And not just in non-Muslim countries, even in many Muslim countries, you will find that there is difficulty in pronunciation of the Qur'an. And that attachment that people used to have of the Qur'an is very, very weak. Let alone memorizing the Qur'an, dedicating time, months, years, dedicating hours, putting in all that time and effort in order to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have lost that connection with the Qur'an. And so it is important to re-establish that connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we speak about memorizing the Qur'an is not like just reading a book. It doesn't just take a couple of hours. It's not going to take you a month to finish. It is something which is a long-term project, something which would probably take you years in order to accomplish. And if you don't have that love of the book of Allah and that attachment to the Qur'an, then you won't have enough motivation and enthusiasm and determination with which to achieve that goal. And so establishing that connection is very important. And part of establishing that connection is to know the true value of the Qur'an and the value of memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often, unfortunately, now in our communities, we don't give much precedence and we don't give much status to people who study the religion of Islam. We don't give much status and honor to those people who have dedicated their lives studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In society's eyes, a doctor or an accountant or a lawyer, vis-a-vis a scholar of Islam, they don't have the same level. They won't be given the same type of honor, and they won't be treated in the same way. And this is again because we've lost that connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were to look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of the companions radiallahu anhum, the companions would say that if amongst us there was a companion who had memorized Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran, he was someone who was venerated amongst us, someone that was honored amongst us. We would consider it a major achievement that a companion has memorized just two surahs of the Qur'an, the two longest surahs. And if you take Surah Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, then you will find that it's more or less five juz. This is what we're talking about, of the Qur'an. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed those companions to achieve. But amongst the other companions, their peers, it was a major achievement because of the connection that they had with the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said in his famous statement that we would learn just 10 verses of the Quran. We would memorize them and we would understand them and we would apply them and then we would move on to the next 10. Just 10 verses at a time. But this is the attachment they had to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And previously, in the previous generations, it's narrated that the scholars of Islam would not take on students to study the religion of Islam if they hadn't memorized the book of Allah azza wa jal. That was step number one. That was your ABC. That was the basics or the basic requirement of becoming a student of knowledge. That you first memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you show your dedication and commitment to the Quran and then you learn about the other sciences of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many a hadith, he spoke about the merits of memorizing the Quran. And we all know the merits of reciting the Quran, having an attachment to the Quran, the benefits of doing so. But memorizing the Quran has its own benefits and it has its own merits and it has its own virtues. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the example of the one who recites the Quran having memorized it is like the example of the one who is with the company of the highest angels. And the example of the one who recites the Quran and it is difficult for him, its recitation and its pronunciation, then for that individual there are two rewards. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized the merit of memorizing the Quran. A person who reads the Quran fluently, having memorized the Quran, will be given the same station and rank as the most noble angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they embody the Quran. That is a person who is walking around with the Quran in their minds and within their hearts. And so Allah azza wa jal has honored such an individual. In another hadith on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that on Yawmul Qiyamah it will be said to the person who has memorized the Quran, once he enters into Jannah, into paradise, it will be said to him, recite and ascend in rank. Recite and continue to ascend in rank and your final station will be the last verse of the Quran that you recite. So with every verse of the Quran, that person will continue to ascend the many levels and stations of Jannah. And his final station will be where he finishes the recitation of the Quran. And so that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be honored. He will have something extra over and above the other people. And that is the memorization of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a similar hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the Quran will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke in many a hadith that the Quran will come as an intercessor and it will speak on behalf of those who recited it and those who memorized it and those who applied it. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will make intercession for its people. But in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is speaking about the one who memorized the Quran. That the Quran will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and it will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will say, "Oh Allah, adorn this individual, beautify this individual." So Allah will order that a crown of honor is placed upon the head of that person. A crown of honor on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then the Quran will further say to Allah, "Oh my Lord, adorn him more, beautify him even more." And so Allah Azza wa Jal will order that a gown and a robe of honor is given to that individual. So the one who memorizes the Quran has a crown of honor and then a robe of honor. And then again the Quran will say, again it will make intercession and it will say, "Oh Allah, be pleased with this individual." So Allah Azza wa Jal will be pleased with that person. He will be pleased with that person. And then he will say to that individual, recite the Quran and continue to ascend in rank. And for every single verse of the Quran that you recite, you will be given an extra reward. You will get an extra hasana, extra reward for every verse of the Quran that you recite. And so in these two hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah and Abu Sa'id, That person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, by his recitation of the Qur'an, not only will he be honored in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal and be given this type of beautification and adornment, these robes of honor on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but that person will continue to ascend the many ranks of Jannah by reciting the verses of the Qur'an. And Allah will increase that person in good deeds, in hasanat, in reward, by recitation of the Qur'an. In another hadith on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna lillahi ahlina minan nas." Indeed, Allah has special chosen people from amongst mankind. There are special chosen people that Allah has from mankind. They said, "O Messenger of Allah, who are these people?" He replied sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "They are the people of the Quran. They are the chosen special people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the people of the Qur'an are those people who recite the Qur'an. They memorize the Qur'an. They understand the Qur'an. They're attached to the Qur'an. They implement the Qur'an. These are the people that Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen to be His special people from amongst the people of the dunya. In another hadith on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala ikrami dhi shaybatil muslim wa hamilil Qur'an." Indeed, from honoring and glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal is that you respect the elderly Muslim, the Muslim whose hair has grown white, the elderly Muslim, and you respect the one who has memorized the Qur'an. And so these two people, by respecting them and showing good etiquette towards them, simply because one has grown old in Islam, they've reached old age as a Muslim, and the other has memorized the book of Allah, doing that in and of itself is a means of honoring and venerating and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is that there are many ahadith that speak about the virtues of the Quran, and it is something which our generation and our children have lost. That connection of the Qur'an, memorization of the Qur'an. If you were to ask many, many Muslims, you will find that the vast majority of them only memorize very few parts of the Qur'an. The small verses and the small surahs at the end of the last juz of the Qur'an, Ayatul Kursi maybe the last couple of verses of Suratul Baqarah, very little of the Qur'an. We have lost that connection of the Qur'an, with the Qur'an. Whereas before, it was very common for the Muslims at a young age that they would memorize the Qur'an. Their parents would teach them to memorize the Qur'an. And if someone from a very young age is given that determination from their parents, the aspiration is instilled with them, that for years and years they will work to memorize the Qur'an, and then they achieve that goal. May take them 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, they achieve that goal. That child automatically will have that aspiration and determination built within them. They will always, inshallah, strive for excellence. Everything that Brother Ilyas was speaking about in the first lecture that you heard today. Simply by attaching themselves to the Qur'an. Because it's not something which a person just does as a hobby. It's not just something which you do on the side. It requires a lot of dedication and time. And even though we're going to go into some tips for how to memorize the Qur'an for our children, really these tips can be applied to anyone. They're not specific for our children, although you may cater some of these points to fit them and to satisfy them more, but it is something which is general for every person. And so every single person needs to establish this connection with the Qur'an. And one of the most important things to do is to stop all excuses. One of the major obstacles that people have is the excuses that they make. Every single person, not just our children, every single person. That we say to them, or we say about ourselves, that we can't memorize the Qur'an. We're too busy. We're too old. Our memory is weak. We don't have enough time. We don't have the support. It's too late for us. Many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they accepted Islam, they were adults. Some of them in their 30s, some of them in their 40s, they were adults. And the Qur'an was being revealed stage by stage. So by the time the Qur'an was finished, complete in its revelation, many of them were in their 50s and 60s. Yet still they memorized the Qur'an. You won't come across a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam where a companion will say, "O Messenger of Allah, I'm too old to memorize the Qur'an. O Messenger of Allah, I'm too busy to memorize the Qur'an. O Messenger of Allah, I'm going to try to get my child to memorize the Qur'an. For me, it's too late." Never will you find this. because of the aspiration that they had. And what makes the problem worse is that we then have this defeatist mentality, and we then give it to our children as well. We transfer it to them. So we say, yeah, this child is not very clever, he's not very bright. He can't even get an A in his maths, he doesn't even know his times tables. How is he going to memorize the Quran? And so we transfer that defeatist mentality to the child. So even before the child starts, we've already ruled them as a failure. They will never memorize the Quran. And if they start to memorize the Quran and they find it difficult, we just pull them out. Instead of having that patience and perseverance and determination. No two people are the same. Some people have been able to memorize the Quran in a month. And this is a gift from Allah. Others, it has taken them many months and many years. Others have taken a lifetime to memorize the Quran. But everyone that has that perseverance and determination, then with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will allow them to memorize the Quran. So what I have for you is a number of tips and benefits, inshaAllah, that we can apply to ourselves, but that we also need to instill within our children. I don't think that it is, except that it is the dream of every parent that the child should memorize the Quran. I don't think you'll find a single Muslim parent that wouldn't love that their child, whether it's a boy or a girl, should have memorized the Quran. No parent, no sane Muslim parent would ever say, I don't want my child to memorize the Quran. But with that dream and that vision of wanting to memorize the Quran, there is a lot of hard work and effort that needs to go into it as well. And especially for a child, that hard work and effort must come from you. As the parent, as the elder. Because children don't know the virtues of the Quran. They don't understand the merits of memorizing the Quran. And I remember when I was young and I was memorizing the Quran, I didn't know the benefits of the Quran. Yes, I knew it was a holy book, it was important, a person should respect the Quran. But I didn't truly understand the value of the Quran like every other 7-8-year-old. So it is the parents that have to instill that determination. And once they've instilled that determination, then inshallah, as that child grows older, then they will begin to realize its true benefits. They will realize its virtues. And they will inshallah themselves have that enthusiasm to finish memorizing the Quran. So after removing this type of defeatist mentality, the first tip that I would give, and the most important thing in my opinion, is that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that we trust in Him. Like everything else in this religion about seeking knowledge, the Quran is a form of knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal grants to whomsoever He wills. It's not something you can download, it's not something you can inherit, it's not something that you can buy, it's not something which can be programmed into you. It is something which is a gift that Allah bestows upon whomsoever He wills. Just like knowledge of the religion. Just like the person becoming a scholar of Islam and having true knowledge. That is a gift from Allah, because the Quran and the knowledge of Islam is a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so one of the most important things, and this is something which we should be doing on a regular basis, is that we make dua for ourselves and our children, that Allah enables us to memorize the Quran. When we pray Salatul Layl Tahajjud, this is the dua, or one of the du'as that we should be making. In our sujood, in our prayer, this is one of the du'as that we should be making. In the last hours of Friday, this is one of the du'as that we should be making. When we go for Umrah or Hajj and we stand in Arafah, or as we're making Tawaf, this is one of the du'as that we should be making. When we drink Zamzam, this is one of the du'as that we should be making. That Allah gives us and our children the ability to memorize the Quran. And this isn't difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find children all over the world, Muslim children, poor and rich, educated and uneducated, people who are orphans, other children that have come from wealthy families, people who are from noble families, people who are from humble families, all of them have memorized the Quran. It is a gift that Allah bestows upon whomsoever He wills. And so we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alongside that, it is very important, therefore then also, by making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that we stay away from sin. If you have a child that's memorizing the Quran, but after 2 hours of memorization, the rest of the time he's just watching TV, listening to music, watching and doing all sorts of haram, then how can that light of Allah exist in the same body and in the same mind and heart as all of that evil as well? Everyone knows probably or has heard of the famous story of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. when he went to his sheikh, one of his teachers by the name of Al-Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Two great scholars, one of them a great imam, the student of another great imam. Imam al-Shafi'i was such a great scholar of Islam that he had more or less photographic memory. He would see a page of a book, not the Quran, any book, and he would memorize it. Often he would cover up the second page out of fear that he would memorize the second page before the first one, and then he'd become confused in the order of the book. This is how strong his memory was, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So one day he went to his teacher and he complained. He complained of poor memory because on that day he couldn't memorize. He found it difficult to memorize. And his difficult memorization is probably our normal memorization, right? And so he found it very difficult to memorize on that day. And so he complained to his teacher. Al-Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, his teacher, he said, rahimahullah, he said to Imam al-Shafi'i, what did you do today that has changed this? He said, I did nothing. I came to you as I come to you every single day. Al-Waqi' said, no, something must be different. Something, you must have done something on the way. There is some sin that you've committed, some evil that is preventing you from attaining this light that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to grant you. And so when Imam al-Shafi'i thought about it deeply, he remembered that as he was walking towards his teacher, he passed through the marketplace. And as he passed through the marketplace, he saw a woman uncover her ankle. And as her ankle became bare, he looked at it and he stared at it. And because of that, he wanted to memorize that day. So he put this into poetry form. And he said in his very famous poetry, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَالَ عَلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُعْطَى لِلْعَاصِي. He said that I complained to my teacher Al-Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah about my poor memory. And he said to me, leave off sinning. Because knowledge is a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will not grant His light to those who disobey Him. Allah does not grant His light to those who disobey Him. So likewise, the Quran is a light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a person to memorize the Quran, they have to attach themselves to Allah azza wa jal, make dua to Allah, and place their trust in Allah. And if it's your child who doesn't know the merits of the Quran, then it is you that must direct them in that way. Keep them away from sin and evil. Don't pollute their minds with haram whilst you're also trying to teach them the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the second most important thing is that we need to give our children the importance of the Quran. We need to instill within them that this project, if you like, this aspiration of memorizing the Quran, this goal, is one of your most important life objectives. It is a very important goal. Depending upon how you treat the Quran and the importance that you attach to it, likewise your children will respond in like. If for you the Quran is not important, if for you you don't pay any attention to the Quran, if for you you never recite the Quran, if for you, for example, you never ask your child when they go to the teacher to memorize the Quran, you never question them, you never revise with them, you don't know if they made any mistakes or not, they will attach that same importance. They will translate it into their own way. If it's not important to you, why should it be important to them? If you don't care, why should they care? And so you need to instill within them that this is the most important thing. Normally when our children come back and they have A grades or they pass their exams or whatever, we become very happy and we celebrate. Maybe we'll buy them a gift or give them money or have a party. Maybe sometimes we'll give them even more depending on what kind of exam they've passed. We attach importance, so our children attach importance. But your child comes back and they've memorized the whole of the 30th juz of the Quran. 6, 7, 8 years old, and they've memorized 1/30th of the Quran. And we say, oh, well done. But what about school? This is how we respond. Yeah, it's good, but what about school? What about your exams? Have you got any homework? And so we don't attach any importance. We belittle the status of the Quran. And so when we belittle the status of the Quran, our children will also belittle it. Because children need motivation. They need encouragement. They need praise. And so if all you do with the Quran is, yeah, it's okay, but what about school? They will know that in life, priority is school, not the Quran. And so you need to instill this importance within them. Praise them, give them encouragement, motivate them. And part of that motivation is that you take time out of your schedule to revise the Quran with them. Test them about the Quran. Make them read to you. And if they can see how busy you are after a long day's work, you're very tired, you come home, you want to rest. But every day, without fail, doesn't matter how tired you are, you always set aside 15, 20 minutes to listen to their Quran, they will know how important it is. So that even when they're tired and they've had a hard day, they know that still they need to do some of that Quran. They still need to recite and memorize some of that Quran. The third point and the third issue that we need to have is high determination. And the first lecture was on this, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail concerning this. But determination is important. Because the Quran, for most children, will be a long-term project. It will take them 3, 4, 5 years' time. And so for that, it is difficult to have that perseverance and determination unless there is some motivation there. Unless we give them the aspiration that the Quran is really a goal that we want to achieve. Because when a person goes to school and they get GCSEs, they see some tangible goal. That they will get into a good college and then a good university and they will have a good career. They can see something tangible in front of them. When they see something tangible, like they will have money or they will get some type of occupied, you don't want them to come and memorize the Quran when they're tired and they're fed up and they're hungry. You want them to memorize the Quran when they're energetic and when they have the ability to memorize in a very quick, short space of time. And so then you will encourage them to memorize the Quran at this time. And so this is something which is important, to give them that routine and that structure. Number seven is then the method of memorization. How to memorize the Quran. Personally, I would recommend that firstly they listen to the recitation of what they want to memorize. So if they're memorizing the first few verses of a surah, let them listen to its recitation. Let them choose the reciters that they like to listen to. People like Shuraim, Sudais, Mahir, Ma'iqali, you know, Mushay, Rashid, there's hundreds of them. Whoever they like to listen to, let them listen to them recite it. Let them become familiar with the verses. And then they themselves begin to read the Quran. They look at it and they read it by looking. So they don't memorize it straight away, they read it by looking. Because often when people memorize straight away, they miss out small words. Or they make mistakes in the vowels on the end of the letters. Because they haven't paid attention, they haven't concentrated to the actual verse. So they read it by looking. And then after they've read it 5, 10 times, and they've become familiar with the verses, now they memorize. Now they memorize those verses. One verse, two verses, three verses, whatever it is that they're able to memorize. And with most children, they will start off with one verse and then they will be able to build up. So by the time they're 2, 3 years into memorization, they should, inshallah, be memorizing a page or two very easily. Because the mind needs that type of training. Once you train your mind to memorize, it will become a lot easier. And so they then memorize. So they listen to its recitation, they read the Quran by looking, then they start to memorize. And then after they memorize, at the end of the day, before they go to sleep, they revise over what they memorized. Quick revision. They just look and read over it and just read it by heart. So that when they go to sleep, that sticks in their mind. It goes from their short-term memory to their long-term memory. And then the next day, they will repeat this process again. But now when they're memorizing, they will join yesterday's memorization with today's memorization. So once they finished memorizing today's 2 or 3 verses, they will spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes revising over what they did yesterday and joining it to what they did today. So that it becomes a seamless memorization. They don't have to be prodded, they don't have to be given a clue about what the next verse is. But rather they will be able to connect and join the verses of the Quran. And then again in the evening, that revision again goes over everything that they memorized today and yesterday. And so as they're memorizing that juz or that surah of the Quran, they are building up more and more memorization. And they're revising more and more as well. And once they've memorized a sufficient portion, half a juz, one juz, then you move on to step number 8, and that is revision itself. So then now they have another time which is dedicated to just revision. So if a child's memorized 5 juz of the Quran, today they will learn and memorize 3 new verses. And in the evening, they will join that memorization with the memorization that they had yesterday. But they will have another time set aside for revising the Quran from the very beginning. So from Surah Baqarah. Because one of the most important things about the Quran is it needs revision. Just like other things need revision. You need to revise the Quran. And so it is important to revise the Quran over and over again. Otherwise, what you'll find is the child will go on to the 10th juz of the Quran, but they will have forgotten the beginning. If you were to test them in the first five, they won't know a word because they haven't revised it. And so revision sometimes is as hard and as important as memorizing the Quran. And in my opinion, I often say that revising the Quran and retaining the Quran was harder than memorizing the Quran in the first place. Because a child will easily learn how to memorize. Once they get into the routine and the rhythm, memorization will become easy for them. But revision will become hard. Revision is where they will need to go back and then go over that work over and over again. And so they should revise that Quran whenever they're able to. If they're traveling in a long journey, revise that Quran. On the way to school, revise some of that Quran. In their prayers, recite some of that revision in their prayers. If they're praying tahajjud, recite it there. Revise that Quran as often as they are possible so that inshallah ta'ala, they will be able to retain that Quran as well. So these are some of the points of benefit that I wanted to share with you, some of the tips about memorizing the Quran and how to memorize the Quran. But again, I would reiterate that at the end of the day, this is something which is from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as our children are memorizing and as we're memorizing, never should we forget that this is from the bounties of Allah. We should constantly make dua to Allah azza wa jal that He gives us the ability to memorize the Quran and our children as well. And we should bear in mind the virtues of memorizing the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah azza wa jal that He gives us the ability to memorize the Quran and that He gives us the ability to our children, both boys and girls, to also memorize the Quran. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.